Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 and verses 35 to 38 is the text for our meditation. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. You turn there to Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that ye shall send forth laborers into his harvest. Amen. Thank God for the reading of his precious word. The work of soul winning is the title of tonight's message, our special prayer meeting, to remember how the Lord brought us to gather together on the 15th of August 2013. We thank the Lord that it was here that the Lord brought us where we begin prayer. And time has gone by. Making a calculation, we have been here for prayer almost 10 years this week. And I recall we have gone through almost about 16 series of messages from the various books of the Bible, from the book of Judges, which we are doing here, the book of Colossians, the book of Job, the book of Exodus, to learning the precepts of prayer on the faith of our fathers in Hebrews 11, Ecclesiastes, remember now thy Creator. We studied the Psalms, Balm for the Weary, two series, part one, part two. Also the book of Esther, in times like this, Nehemiah, traits of a courageous Christian, and Ezra, the second Exodus. Then there is Daniel, faithful living in a faithless world. And there's Elisha, serving our faithful God, and Elijah, and the book of Ruth, under his wings. And we are about to complete the book of Judges soon, in a couple of weeks' time, and we shall be endeavoring to begin the study of the book of Isaiah. It's a very profitable study, which we hope we'll be able to embark, and we pray that the Lord would help us as we produce notes for you every prayer meeting. We thank the Lord for his enabling, and how much time do we have? We don't know. But as much as the Lord enables us, while he gives us strength and breath, we will persevere as he leads us. When we begin here, the text which the Lord impressed upon our hearts, to begin as was meditating upon the word, came in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. And as we see the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, as he began work in the ministry, it was a work of soul winning. And as we reflect upon the theme of the church, the first mission of the church is in winning souls. And we must not deviate from this objective, this first objective that the Lord gave us, to win souls for the Lord. And our Lord Jesus Christ gave this example through the writing of Matthew. We shall consider it for our learning tonight once again. This was the first message that we preached here at the Praise Chapel. We observed that Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He's looking for men and women with a heart to serve him, with a heart to follow him. And Jesus continued the work that his Father has entrusted to him. How did Jesus accomplish this work of soul winning? We can glean from our text in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38, that it is hard work, a work that requires persevering toil. There is a sense of a physical weariness that comes with it. And it is hard work. The body can only be sustained by an inner strength that the Spirit of God will impart to us so that we may be able, by the power of the Spirit of God, to do this work. So, three thoughts. It is hard work, verse 35. It is hard work, verse 36. And it is Holy Spirit's work. Unless the Spirit of God would lead us, we have no ability. How to convert a soul? Where to go? Who to talk to? Well, these are great challenges, isn't it? And the Lord did not leave us without hope or help, but he set for us the example. So our first thought, verse 35, hard work. Jesus preached and he prayed. And Jesus went about, verse 35 says, all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. The adjective all and every is used three times to describe the scope of our Lord's work. It was comprehensive. It covered the grounds. It left no corner of cities and villages unevangelized. And as we reflect upon what the Lord has done for us, we'll notice that we have gone the rounds of sending out tracts to this area in the dairy farm, in the Hillview area, to Bukit Batok, to Toh Yi area, to Bukit Panjang, to areas at the Pending Road that stretches the whole of Bukit Panjang. There were many blocks of flats, many blocks of flats. And we have covered them. And we thank the Lord for his enabling. We realize that the strength did not come from us. And we realize that, and we also thank the Lord that he has given us many co-laborers. And we have one brother who goes together for these tracting sessions. Well, last year, he has got a stroke. So after that, he was in a way incapacitated. Not so easy now to move. But the work continues. The Lord showed us. Jesus' work on earth was only 3.5 years. His active ministry, in the first 30 years of his life, there was no record of any other work. He was a carpenter. He worked in the steps of of Joseph, who was adopted him as a son. And we see when he began this work of the gospel, we realize how it was demanding, physically speaking. Jesus went about all the villages, cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. Well, here we have HDB flats. We also have private estates. So for private estates, to go and from house to house, well, it's not as easy a thing. You go, well, for me, I would drive, and then we would park, and we would have one stretch to go. Sometimes it's hot. Right? We're under the sun most of the time, and we thank God that He enabled us to have that strength, the zeal, right, to go. And it's a very blessing, I would say. Right? Because each time you pray, the Lord will show where to go, what to do. And it was from this that we mentioned that we get to know Api and Victor. Yeah, a tract in Toi. Was staying in one of the blocks there. So we received our tract and started to call us to ask for help. And, well, there goes about 4 or 5 years of our contact with him. I just called him recently. And, well, his knees are no good. He missed his sister. His sister went home last year in May in the midst of the pandemic. And it's tough not being able to go to the nursing home, not being able to enter the nursing home to care for the sister whom he cared for the 12, 14 hours a day for the last 5, 6 years. And so it was a sad parting, the only relative that is left on earth for him. And so now, well, I talked to him 2 days ago, and he said that, well, he missed the sister very much. Mother and father is no longer there. And so you see and you realize, right, that the work of the gospel oftentimes requires us to demand a physical engagement whereby we give of our time, we give ourselves of our resources in order that we may be able to go about sharing the gospel. And this was what Jesus did. He went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Well, we must say that we have testimonies of God healing his people. When we prayed, God heals. And one recent testimony is during the time of the camp, right? During just before the camp, God healed one of our brethren. And it was instant. And we thank the Lord for these encouragements that he gave in answer to prayer. He helped, and we are thankful to him. And healing every sickness and every disease among the people. The Apostle Paul wrote, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." The gospel of peace, because it is the only message that is able to reconcile sinful men to God. Right? Our sins often cause great misery in our homes, and oftentimes great misery also to our personal life. And the gospel is God's only solution by which we may be able to find reconciliation for sins, true peace in our hearts, that we no longer struggle, but there is a restfulness. We are at peace with ourselves. We're at peace with God. We're at peace with the people around us. And so to bring the glad tidings of good things was what Jesus did. So he went about all the cities and villages in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Preaching and praying were principal activities. He was spreading the good news of the gospel, and he preached the word to all who are willing to listen. He preached the word to all who are willing to listen. He taught. He showed them the sense of the laws of God. And that's recorded for us in Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 7. How do we live our lives in the light of God's word that will bring God's blessing? Oftentimes, when you evangelize, and you realize that there are some issues of life. And the Lord has to prepare the hearts of his people, isn't it? Prepare us so that we may be able to give an answer to the hope that we have. An answer from the scriptures, how our lives can be better ordered. He also healed the sick. We see this in recorded in Matthew 8 and Matthew 9. These mighty works authenticated Jesus' credentials that he is Messiah, he is King, King of the Jews. Today we don't possess such supernatural power of miracle healing, but we can pray for the needs of those we meet. As we acknowledge that power comes from God, we submit to his sovereign power and will to heal. And indeed, he did heal in many instances. And we can see how the Lord provided and helped our recent situation with Madam Poon Chiu Hoi, how the Lord healed her in her initial admission in emergency to the hospital. It helped prepare the family for her eventual homegoing, which took place about 2 weeks ago. There was a 1.5 months lapse, and how the Lord prepared the family so that the family has the strength to for that this temporal separation that they were to experience. And as you review and you see that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, he was among the people. He was among the people. There was interaction. And we can imagine the picture of weariness and toil in the work of the gospel. It required physical, mental, spiritual endurance. Our Lord demonstrated to us this commitment by his excellent example for our emulation. In fact, we can catch a glimpse of our Lord's work in soul winning in Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9, and you will notice it is a greatly sacrificial work. He said to the scribe who wanted to be his disciple, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." And yet it was highly rewarding, for it is the souls of men and women snatched from the clutches of hell and transported to the glory of heaven. And for God to evoke this work, you realize that men must not be encumbered with the things of this world. When we are encumbered with the things of this world, we have no power for any work, because we are so tied up with the cares of this world. But as you look at our Lord's work, you will see a string of ceaseless activities that our Lord was doing. And it's truly an encouragement and a great privilege for us to be a part of this good work. that God has entrusted us. When we begin prayer meeting here on the 15th of August 2013. However, in the immediate context of verse 34, the Pharisees accused our Lord that he cast out devils through the prince of the devils. In other words, Jesus' work is evil because he's energized by Satan. And we have our fair share of opposition. Opposition to the continued progress and even the existence of our work. What great blasphemy from the evil one. All this work put in avail to nothing. It destroys lives. In fact, from Matthew chapter 9 onwards, we observe that the work becomes more difficult because of opposition. Chapter 9 began with Jesus healing the man sick of the palsy. It is a paralysis of the muscles as a result of some disorder in the nervous system. And forgiving him of his sins, the scribes observing him said, "This man blasphemeth." Indeed, as Jesus said, these scribes taught evil in their hearts. The work of Jesus in saving the man spiritually and physically was of God. It is a good work, a work of love. Jesus was fulfilling the mission that God the Father had sent him to do. But he had to endure much ridicule and scorning for the good work. To endure ridicule and scorning is no mean thing, isn't it? To be looked at with contempt, to be regarded with contempt, is no mean thing. Very discouraging. But this was the environment in which our Lord Jesus operated. The Pharisees, the scribes, they did not welcome him. And in the midst of a toil, our Lord endured the mockings and the scornings that can cause much discouragement, like the pouring of cold water to cool down the momentum of the work started. You read the book of Ezra, you read the book of Nehemiah, you'll be able to see, as we have gone through, how the enemies would seek to stop the work, disrupt the work. And those comes not just externally, but oftentimes internally. And we are saddened by this, but there is also an example that the Lord set for us. And this was the Lord of our Savior. It will be the Lord for us, his disciples too. Do not be surprised. Let us not be surprised. May the Lord grant us his comfort and encouragement so that we may press on despite rejection, resistance, and setback. Hard work. So the body is weary. There is a task to be done. And how is it going to be sustained? Well, the hard work was undergirded with the resolve and purposeful determination in the heart to this gospel work despite setbacks. And the Lord wants us to see and realize. So we said, read the Bible, read the Bible. Why read the Bible? Because if we don't read the Bible, we don't have the spiritual strength to do the work. We are not led by God through his word, through his spirit, and therefore we have no strength indeed to do any work for the Lord. So here, verse 36 says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Matthew used two verbs. Jesus saw and he moved with compassion. Jesus is able to read the hearts, to see the burdens in the hearts of the multitude. Well, as we read the Bible, as we read the Word of God, the Spirit of God will help us to see and understand human hearts, isn't it? Because the Bible is a book full of descriptions of the human heart, all of its facets. The Lord shows to us, and it enables us to see and see through. That's important, right? You can see, but you can't see through. Then you realize that oftentimes we may be bucking up the wrong tree, or what we say as the term goes, going the wrong direction. But the Lord shows us what we ought to do, helps us to see. And we thank the Lord that He does lead us, that His Spirit does show us what's going on. Jesus is able to read the hearts, see the burdens in the hearts of the multitude. There was sorrow, there was grief, there was affliction, there was trouble, there was sin that was in the heart of this. He was not thinking about himself, his interest, but in his mind, their interests and their welfare, isn't it? He is the God of glory. He need not do that. He need not lay aside his own glory that he had with the Father. But he did so, obedient to the Father's will. And he did so willingly. And here we also see a description how he was moved with compassion. The word there means bowels, or literally means intestines. Right? The lungs, the hearts, the liver, they're considered to be the seat of feeling, of love, of pity. Well, we say that his heart was stirred. When the heart is stirred, then there is this stirring undergirds action that will come later. And this moving with compassion proved that his heart was ever filled with merciful kindness and feelings of pity for the distressed of every description. Whenever and wherever suffering and sorrow of body or soul met his eyes, his heart was moved with compassion. The compassion of Jesus is one of the deepest, richest, most comforting of all his attributes. He felt for them so much. It is as if it affected his physical inner being and it moved him to action. That was God's love, the agape type, sacrificial, unconditional. He's able to read the hearts, to see the burdens, the sorrows, the grief, the trouble. He was not thinking about himself. And here we see the great value of lost souls in the heart of the Lord. They fainted. Here it speaks about weariness, losing heart, become discouraged. They fainted and were scattered abroad. These were word pictures, two perfect participles used as adjectives. And their tenses describes a present condition as a result of a past action. Right? In life, we make certain decisions, and after we make decisions, well, we endure the consequences, or we live the consequences. And so here, it is the first word, they fainted. The word means having been flayed, having the skin torn. This happens as sheep wandering among bramble bushes cut by sharp rocks. And the second word, they were scattered abroad. And this word has a root that means thrown down, prone or helpless, exhausted, totally drained of energy. And this verb is used with reference to corpses lying prostrate on the ground. Both participles are made valid by the comparison, like sheep having no shepherd. They look abject, torn, exhausted, a sight to rend the heart, a most pitiful sight. But you realize that it's only when the Lord would prepare our hearts, that we may put our own life in order, put our own hearts in order, that you have the strength to care about other people's life, isn't it? Yeah, oftentimes we're too overwhelmed by our own lives, that we have no time to think about what else is there around us. But here, you see our Lord has a different mindset. Their souls receive no wholesome spiritual food and care. And as far as that was concerned, they were left to shift for themselves. So he saw their lost estate and it drove him to action. And what follows is that Jesus was thinking of their spiritual condition. So material and physical destitution moves men deeply to provide the humanitarian aid. But Jesus' care goes beyond the physical. For he saw even their spiritual distress. And oftentimes, you may be able to meet a physical need, a physical distress. But the distress of the heart, the distress of the soul, when it is not addressed, the physical problem will come again and again, over and over again. And so there is a deeper need that the Lord has for us to address. And in this verse, we see the great value of the lost soul in the heart of the Lord. And the Lord wants us to know and learn what is it that he wants us to know concerning the human soul and the needs of the human soul. And as he saw their lost estate, it drove him into action. Jesus felt deeply for them. He was a good shepherd who cared for his sheep. This unconditional and sacrificial love is God's power flowing in the life of God's children. It comes as an overflow of the Holy Spirit's work in the believer's life. It comes because the child of God has been touched by God's love. In other words, we've been filled. God has filled us and grant to us that strength. And here Jesus demonstrated the greatness of this love in his ministry on earth. For us who are saved, it is a love that flows out of gratitude and indebtedness. We have received something. We have been forgiven much, though undeserved. And unless we realize our lost estate and experience in our heart the reconciliation with God by the finished work of Christ on the cross, we cannot live out this love. It keeps us humble and loving. Jonathan Goforth, the missionary to China, often sang this chorus as a prayer as he reflected on his ministry. He prayed that God to keep his heart burning for lost souls. This chorus, Lord crucified, give me a heart like thine. Teach me to love the dying souls of men. Oh, keep my heart in closest touch with thee and give me love, pure Calvary love, to bring the lost to thee. The last days before our Lord's coming are characterized by sin. Matthew 24 verse 12 says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The work will be even harder. The pull of the world is even greater. The enemy's power and attack would be even stronger. And we realize this and we find it tougher, isn't it? Over the last 2 years, when we experienced this pandemic, why did it come? Well, I say to you that it is to close the Church of Jesus Christ. If the light has been snuffed out, then there is no more. There is darkness. Darkness will fill the whole earth. And unless we understand the gravity, the importance of the mandate that God has given us, we don't realize that the need that we have to keep the light aflame for the Lord. May God be merciful. It is hard work, pray and preach, hard work, compassion and care. Holy Spirit led work, verse 37 to 38. Then he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Jesus says to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, plenty of work, but the laborers are few. The laborers. And here the Lord wants us to see and understand what we are speaking about. Do we understand what it involves? Well, he uses a farming imagery to help us to see the urgency of the work. When the farmer sows, and there's a season of cultivation where he waters and fertilizes. But when the harvest time comes, the entire field is ready at the same time. This is the picture of the harvest that Jesus wants us to see. It's urgent to reap quickly. And the fruits of the harvest, before they turn bad, before the birds come and the worms and the insects come to feed on them. He's showing to us the vast work, the vast field of the work, still undone. And he urged his disciples to pray. For no man by himself can discharge this work unless the Lord raised him or her up and endows him with the strength and ability to go forth. There's a great number of people who need instruction, but there are few able to instruct these poor people in the ways of righteousness and truth. Pray the Lord by his Spirit would call and commission more to serve in this ripe harvest field. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord has called you to be trained. Well, then come forward so that you may be sent forth for this precious work of soul winning. May the Lord grant his grace as we embark on the work. May the Lord grant us his strength to persevere. And we realize that this work the Lord did for 3.5 years. And the Lord, after his crucifixion, he ascended to heaven at the right hand of the Father. And we pray that the Lord would raise up laborers for his vineyard. May the Lord guide as we wait upon him. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for his word. Thank thee for thy grace in granting us thy peace and joy in the Lord Jesus Christ and the desire to walk with thee. Strengthen thy people that we may run the way of the commandments. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.